The Lord be with you. I want to show you a marble sculpture carved by Michelangelo in the Renaissance, which is housed now in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. It's known as the Pietà. And in the Pietà, you see Mary holding her son Jesus, but her son is dead. And presumably, this would be a scene depicting Mary holding Jesus after he has been crucified. But it's a curious thing that while the scriptures do say that Mary saw Jesus as he was taken down from the cross and buried in a tomb, nowhere in the scriptures does it say Mary ever held her son after he had died. Furthermore, many art critics have noticed that Mary's face in this image seems awfully young. She, in fact, looks younger than her son, who is now 33. Furthermore, if you look closely, you can see that she is able to support his corpse just by laying him in her lap and holding him with just one hand. And all these different features, the fact that Mary is never described as holding Jesus after his death, the fact that she appears younger than him in the sculpture, and the fact that she's able to carry the entire dead weight of Jesus with just one arm, all these things have led art historians to wonder if perhaps Michelangelo intended not to depict Mary after Jesus' crucifixion, but to depict Mary on the day she presented him in the temple. For on the day that Mary presents Jesus in the temple, she hears a man named Simeon tell her that one day a sword will pierce her soul because of Jesus. And so perhaps Michelangelo is in this sculpture depicting Mary looking down at her infant son. And instead of seeing the infant that she holds in her arms, she is seeing Jesus as he will be 33 years later, dying, giving his life for the world. And if that is indeed what Michelangelo is depicting, psychologists have a term for it. They call it anticipatory grief. Anticipatory grief is different from other kinds of grief because it happens before we lose the person that we love. But it can take any shape around any form of loss. Most often, yes, it occurs often in family members as they see their loved one declining and about to die, and they anticipate that soon that loved one will in fact die. But it can also happen when we know that we're going to move and we're leaving behind a community of people that we love, and we can anticipate that loss. And sometimes we can even anticipate losses which may not happen. Perhaps if we're at the beginning stages of a romantic relationship and we're afraid that perhaps it's not going to work out, not because we have any signs that it's about to fall apart, but just because we've been hurt before and we're afraid of being hurt again, and so we anticipate breaking up with someone even before there's any reason to. This anticipatory grief, when it's unhealthy, it can make us feel angry that there is a future that we can't control. It can make us feel anxious, constantly on guard, waiting for the day when at last that loss happens. And perhaps at its worst, anticipatory grief can make us feel numb. It can make us want to close off and harden our hearts and not feel love, not let ourselves be vulnerable to something that is outside of our control that one day may hurt us. And if you have been feeling some of these emotions this past year, anger or anxiety or a numbness, it is perhaps because our whole world has been experiencing anticipatory grief in the year 2020. In this year, certainly, so many of us have wondered if people that we love will die because of this pandemic. And even if our loved ones are not at risk, We still anticipate that the holidays and the gatherings which we so enjoy aren't going to happen the way they have before. And so perhaps we grieve those days even before they arrive. And perhaps anticipatory grief is what Mary is experiencing when God puts the words into Simeon's mouth that tells her that this beautiful baby boy that she has come to present to God will one day be taken away from her, and her heart will be pierced and broken because of it. And on one level, perhaps it seems cruel. Perhaps it seems cruel for God to tell Mary ahead of time that she will suffer because she loves her son Jesus. But in the early church, there developed a tradition that sees in this moment of Mary a blessing to all the world, because Mary teaches us how we are to process anticipatory grief. And so I want to show you an image that's called Our Lady of Sorrows, and this is from a church in Salamanca, Spain. And you can see there is a depiction of Mary, and she has seven swords stabbing her heart. And this is a visualization of what Simeon prophesies. Each of those swords represent a sorrow that Mary will suffer because she loves her son. The first one is Simeon's very words, letting her know that she will live a life of sorrow. The second is when she has to flee Bethlehem and escape to Egypt to escape Herod's attempt to kill Jesus. The third is when she loses Jesus in the temple, and for 3 days she is frantic trying to find him. The fourth is when she encounters Jesus on the way to the cross. And the fifth is when Jesus is crucified. The sixth is when his side is pierced and he dies. And the seventh is when Jesus is buried. Perhaps she doesn't know on the day she brings Jesus to the temple each and every one of those specifics, but she knows that grief will come. And yet, when Christians meditate on this image, they are taught to pray, "Rejoice, Our Lady of Sorrows, and teach us to turn our sorrows into joy and soften the hearts of evil men." Because the church has come to understand that even though Mary knows she will suffer for loving Jesus, she still manages to find joy in loving her child that she will someday lose. And the way Mary comes to understand this is perhaps given to her also in the temple. On the same day that she learns of her suffering, God gives her a gift, a blessing of two elders, Simeon and Anna. These two elders are people who are preparing themselves to die, to lose the life that they have loved, even if it hasn't been an easy life. Anna is described as having been married for 7 years and then having lived to 84 as a widow, which likely means she lived about 60 years as a widow in a society where widows have no support. And so Anna makes a life for herself, never leaving the temple. There, perhaps she survives on the charity of strangers and devotes her life to prayer, as in a form of hospice, she prepares for her own death. And even more explicitly with Simeon, who has his whole life yearned to see the nation of Israel, which he loves, receive some consolation. He is preparing for the day that he will die. And yet, these two elders who are preparing for their own death and maybe feeling some anticipatory grief themselves, these two elders, when they encounter Mary, they rejoice and they praise God. They praise God because they have seen Jesus. And in Jesus, they catch a glimpse of God. Maybe just 10 pounds of the divine who gurgles and wiggles. But having seen Jesus, they know their future hasn't changed. They are still about to die. But having seen Jesus, their present has changed. The life they live now changes. And Simeon is the most explicit about this. For seeing Jesus, Simeon takes the baby Christ in his arms, and holding Jesus, he begins to sing, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before all nations." You see, Simeon, like so many people of faith I know who reach a certain age, Simeon is not concerned about his own death. What he's concerned about is the future of the people that he loves, the future of his nation, which he cares for, once that future is no longer in his hands. And when Simeon sees Jesus, he is filled with peace, not because he has seen what the future holds for the people that he loves, but because in Jesus, he has seen the hands that will hold those people's future. And yes, in that moment, he sees just the hands of a baby. Those hands will change as Jesus grows, but Simeon recognizes in Jesus that unchanging love of a loving God. And so, holding Christ in the present, Simeon is able to give the future to God, even if that future means Simeon's own death. And this is the healthy side of anticipatory grief. You see, in the depth of the sorrow that we feel, knowing the future will bring loss, the Holy Spirit reveals to us and allows us to appreciate the depth of the love that we have right now. And so, while we are not able to control the future, while control of the future is not in our hands, the power to love in the present is. And this is what Michelangelo depicts Mary doing. If we can see that Pietà one more time, we see Mary, in one hand, she holds Jesus in the present, and with her other hand, she lets go and gives the future to God, even if that future means losing her own son. And because of this, Mary is able to love fully in the present, knowing that she will someday lose the one she loves, and perhaps knowing that she will one day lose him, she is able to love Jesus even more deeply, feeling that sorrow. It is fitting, perhaps, that we end the year 2020 with Our Lady of Sorrows. Because, having ended this past year, many of us may look to the year to come with anxiety and fear. And if we find ourselves closing ourselves off to relationships and love because we don't know what the future will bring and we don't want to be hurt by getting too close, may we remember Our Lady of Sorrows. And may, like Mary in the temple, we hear the song of Simeon, the song that reminds us to look to see where the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus for us now in the present. Even if the Christ we see is just a glimpse of God, may we hold that Christ in our arms, that holding in Jesus in the present, we can let go of the future and give it to the God of love that we recognize in Christ. Amen.